Please turn with me to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God willing, I want to look at this great psalm with the title, Crying Out for Salvation. Crying out, longing for salvation. And Psalm 130 is the 11th of 15 psalms sung while the people, the pilgrims, were ascending. They were going up. They went up, or they made their way towards the city of Jerusalem. It is a pilgrimage psalm. And these 15 psalms, beginning with Psalm 120 up to Psalm 134, there are 15 of them. They are called songs of degrees or psalms of ascent. As I said, the people were ascending. They were going up in pilgrimage. And these 15 psalms were sung 6 times a year. And the occasion was during the festivals and the feasts of the people of Israel. But Psalm 130 is also one of the 7 penitential psalms. It's easy to find them. We could easily give you the list of the 7. But just to show you the importance and the vitality of this psalm, it is also a psalm of conversion. I believe when I read it, even now, I feel I'm in the New Testament. In the New Testament, because the words given to us here, though they were written 1,000 years before the New Testament, they tell us all we need about salvation and how to be reconciled with the living God. It's all here for our understanding and to move us and to make us to pay attention, to draw our attention on the salvation the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for sinners who will trust in him, who will repent from their sins and believe in on the mighty work he has done on the cross of Calvary. So it is a conversion psalm, really, imploring the Lord for his redemption. Oh, my dear friend, I don't know where you stand tonight spiritually, but what can ease my conscience, the guilt of my conscience? Is there anything that will really appease and comfort and give me some form of respite just to find peace with myself, peace with God? Is there anything? Where is that? Where can I find it? And these are all the questions, really, we find the answer in this wonderful psalm. Have you ever prayed for your salvation? Oh, yes, we know. We pray daily for material things, ephemeral, just passing by things for the here and now. But the greatest prayer a believer or a sinner can make tonight is to ask God to save his soul. So my question again to you, have you ever prayed for the need of your soul? But as you look at the psalm, it is not just generic, like speaking to all. It is very personal. And I'm sure you have noticed already or noted, out of the depths have I cried. I cried. And in verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. It is a very personal psalm. But as you go through the 7 verses of this psalm, you see slowly, progressively, the psalmist is moving from despair, from sorrow, to a great hope. And there is hope for the sinner who looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want really to explain it in the simplest way. I cannot really complicate it. In the simplest way, here are four things. Are you looking for salvation? Are you praying for the most important thing in your life, which is the salvation of your soul, being reconciled with the living God? Here are four simple headings I want to put before you covered in this wonderful psalm. And the first one is there in verse 1. Out of the depths. Out of the depths. This man is in great despair. He's in great agony. Out of the depths. But if only we compose there. You see, out of the depths, out of the ocean, out of the sea of my sins, out of the sea of my guilt, out of the sea of my shame, out of the sea of my desperation. And we read elsewhere in the word of God that the sinner said, my sin is too heavy for me, and my sin is ever before me. Out of the depths of my desperation, of my shame, of my guilt, I'm in great trouble. Oh, my dear friends, this is the first step in salvation. Do you want to be saved? Do you really want to have your sins forgiven? Here is the first step, really. Out of the depths. I'm utterly, totally lost. And the fault is not the government. The fault is not the education. The fault is not the society. I cannot blame God, but I have to blame myself. That is the point. That is the key. That is the heart of any person who wants to come close to God. I must say to myself, my putridity is burdensome. It is burdensome. It is unbearable. I cannot cope with it. Oh, my dear friends, just the fact of me remembering that I'm so far from the living God, I'm separated from God, I'm separated from anything holy, oh, that makes me to, the pain is just unbearable. Knowing that I'm separated from God, my sin suffocates me. And I'm trapped in the deep. I'm drowning. That is why we keep saying, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without seeking salvation, there is only emptiness in you and in me. Yes, you may be surrounded by material things, but at the end of the day, it is only corruption and pollution. We are speaking spiritually. But look, the psalmist, as he thinks about his own condition, that is the first step. First, to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to find salvation, I must realize I'm lost. I'm drowning. Sin is ugly. Sin separates me from the living God. And sin digs me in. I never read a passage in the Bible where it says that sin lifts me up. It makes me to be a better person. But actually, sin makes even my hole to be wider and deeper. It digs me in deeper and deeper. And that is why, unless I find salvation, I will never be able to fight that strong man. Because sin, King Sin, is a tyrant. He's a dictator. He's ruling and overruling everything. My decisions, my will, my mind, my heart, everything I do is really surrounded and completely invaded by sin. I'm deceived. I'm deluded. I'm disobedient. I'm damaged. And the Bible even makes it worse than what I just said now. The Bible tells me because of my sins, I'm dead. Dead in my sins and in my trespasses. And I don't need to go to the hospital in order to receive any form of medication. I need resurrection because I'm dead. Oh, Where will help come from? Is someone in this world, where should I look? Should I look to the state? Should I look to the psychiatrist? Should I look to the doctors of this world? Should I look to the philosopher? Should I look to the gurus of the gurus of this world, of the religions of this world? Where would help come from? Oh, look at the verse again, verse 1. Out of the depths. Oh, this man, I believe, is not pretending. He has come to an end of himself. He is not full of himself anymore. He sees the vanity. He sees his own despair. He sees his own exasperation and frustration, because whatever he does, there is nothing he can do in order to please the living God. So first step, in order to obtain salvation, to be given salvation, I am totally and utterly lost. And no one can help me in this world. What must I do then? Should I say, as some people do in this world, when you speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm okay, I can manage by myself. But you see, the man is in a bottomless pit. There is no hope for him. And as I said, he's moving from despair to some form of hope. And that hope, look at it, the hope is coming in verse 1 there. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. The second step, prayer, comes out of the depths. That's the second step in order to obtain salvation before the living God. I cry. It is in the present tense. I cry and I keep crying. I don't give up. I persevere in my crying to the living God. I will not let him go. And I will not just pray for material things. I will not just pray for my exams or for a new employment. But I cry and I keep crying. Lord, I won't let you go until you bless me with the blessing and with the gift of salvation. This is what this man is crying out for. Out of the depths, I cry unto thee, O Lord. Of course, this man, we could say, maybe that is your case, and certainly it is my case. I did look into religions. I did compare. You know, there are people, they specialize in comparing religions before they make up their minds. But may I tell you, in my small mind again, the comparison between religions, if you study all of them, will never make you to understand what Christ has achieved on the cross of Calvary. But there is some good news there. I did look at all of them. And one thing I found, no man, no religion, no philosophy, no ritual, no ceremony, no meditation, no transcendental meditation will make any good to me. And actually, all these things I have just listed, they do not care for my soul at all. At all. Where will the solution come, my dear friends? Where will I find the need, the balm that will comfort my soul and make me to relate to my Creator? Where will I find that? And here is the answer. The psalmist gives us the answer. Out of the depths I cry unto thee, Lord. Please later look at it, just 7 verses. But count how many times, Lord, Lord, Lord. I did not cry to a man. I did not cry to a church. I did not cry to a religion. I did not cry to a philosophy. But I cry unto thee, Lord. Because without salvation, I'm only digging, I'm only going into a greater agony. That's the point he's making. Out of the depth, I cry unto thee, O Lord. And this is in a term, I believe, the way this man, this is just to convey the idea to you. This is your attitude, the way he put it before God. It was with great humility. I cry unto thee, O Lord, with supplication, with imploration, with petition, with humility, for mercy, for grace, because if thou do not save me, Lord, I'm completely lost. And in his supplication, he offers nothing physical to God. This is what we have to understand in order to be saved. There is nothing physical I can bring before God. No good works, no blood, no gold, no silver. But what can I bring before God? Look at the verse. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. I can bring before God a deep cry. I can bring before God a deep desire, an intense desire. Oh, Lord, I want to be saved. I mean it. I'm sincere. I'm overwhelmed with my own corruption, and I come to the living God. And with that deep and intense desire, God will not shut the door. And in verse 2, look at in verse 2, he goes on with his supplication. It was a deep supplication because he realized that in order to have peace with God, it is impossible to have peace with God without crying, without longing, without desiring, and without calling upon the name of the Lord. And in his supplication, peace can only be given to us when we are reconciled with God through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his supplication goes on in verse 2. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Did I tell you that this man has come to an end of himself? He was full of himself, certainly. But now, when he finds himself in the depths, in that great agony and despair, he gives supplication to the living God. But I want to consider a third thing given to us in the passage. My dear friends, the first step is what? If I want to be saved according to the word of God, I'm totally lost. Not half lost, I'm dead. And the second, I can only pray. Lord, help me. Lord, be merciful to me. I can't cry with that longing, with that intense and deep desire in my heart. I do not pretend. But the third thing, look at verse 3. I hope this will stop anyone who thinks he can earn salvation by doing something. And in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand is a big question. And you see, let me explain that, because it is very vital for our understanding of how to find salvation in Jesus Christ. Who can stand? Who shall stand before God's righteousness and his judgment with his own merits? God doesn't need anything from us. Who shall stand? If I may just take, if you don't mind, an example of one of the largest. Islam is considered to be the second largest religion in the world. You know how people are told to how they can be saved? I explain it to you, and this has nothing. I don't mean to be critical in any way, but I'm just expressing the fact and explaining the facts. Everyone will be judged according to two pans on a scale. On one hand, you have your sins. You have your sins on one pan. On the second pan, you have your good works. My dear friends, if that was the case, in order to be saved, who shall stand? Who shall stand? Because sin is not only what we do. This is what religions are ignoring and overlooking and missing. Sin is not only what you do. Man and women, we are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. but we are sinners also in our thoughts. We are sinners by practice. Oh, my dear friends, please say yes in your heart. If God has to mark my iniquities, I will be doomed and condemned. That is the reality. So this is why, if God has a book where he is writing our iniquities, our transgressions, and our corruption, our failings and fallings, our shortcomings, who shall stand before the living God? And the idea really, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, the word mark there has the idea also, if God watchtowers our sins, our iniquities, who can stand? My dear friends, people don't like to hear that, but sin has marked our hearts. There is that indelible seal upon us. There is no way. I cannot change the color of my skin, Bible says. In the same way, left to myself, I cannot change my condition. I cannot change my sins. But remember, the people were going to Jerusalem in order to do what? In order to stand before God. That was the purpose. But here it is, the good news and the paradox of the Christian life. Not about two pans where God is putting your good works and your good, how many good works we can do, which will be compared to the mountain and the ocean, the depths of our sins, how many good works we can really do daily. In comparison to our evil thoughts, our corruption, our evil desires, our covetousness, our lust, how many of them? There are millions and millions. And the people were going to Jerusalem to stand before God. But here is the paradox. In order to stand before God, you must first go on your knees. Not standing, but on your knees. On your knees, trust in the work of Jesus Christ. Trust in the mighty salvation provided, freely given, freely given. Oh, I'm amazed always about the gospel because it is free. Anything you want to obtain in this life, you have to pay for it. Anything. Go out in a shop or in whatever. The slightest small thing in this world, you have to buy it. But Bible says the things of God, they are freely received. It is a gift of God. So that is the paradox. Do you see the paradox? You cannot stand before God before going on your knees in repentance, in confession, in trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no solicitor can stand before you. Before God on your behalf. No lawyer of this world can do it. That's why in 1 John chapter 2, we are told that when we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, at the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our advocate. Our advocate. You have an advocate, and he will stand for you. He will defend you. Why he will defend you? Because on the cross of Calvary, you have trusted in him. He shed his blood there, and he said to his Father, God, punish me instead of him. A religion of grace. A religion of grace. Who shall stand before God? And the amazing thing, if you allow me to add this before I come to a fourth heading here, the amazing thing is that God writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and that name will never be erased, and that name will never be removed from his Book of Life. Actually, God doesn't have any book. It is a way of speaking to accommodate our limits. We are limited people. So God tells us that he will write our name in the Lamb Book of Life. And another benefit we receive, God adopts us. You become a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is there anything bigger than that? Not in this world. And you have heaven is yours. But look at a first heading. You need to understand that you are totally lost. The second, the only thing I can do is to cry unto the Lord. Prayer, intense prayer. Lord, save me. The third thing is to see the immensity of your sin. I cannot stand before God by providing anything because God doesn't need anything. And to be saved, I need to go on my knees. Not pride, not covetousness, not full of myself, but with humility. But look at the fourth thing in verse 4. In verse 4, it says, let me combine verse 3 and verse 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. You see the contrast. And look at verse 7. Verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Oh, my dear friends, have you seen the contrast? Who shall stand before God? But there is forgiveness with thee. There are three things I want to put before you as I come to conclusion. Hear, my friends, how God deploys and displays his gift, his promises, but also God is displaying before us his attributes. Oh, the attributes of God, just to save you and me and to heal your soul, to bring that healing to your soul. The dead person now could be raised from the dead. That is what salvation does in our souls. And the man who was in great despair now is full of hope. Here are the three things as I close. The first one in verse 4 there, you can be saved trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ because there is forgiveness with thee. Socrates, the Greek philosopher, he lived his life and he said, he believes that God can forgive a sinner. He said so. But he lived all his life without seeing how God can do that. That's what he said from his own words. So it's not a matter of intellect or having a sophisticated intelligence. Oh, I wish he has read Psalm 32. You know what he said in Psalm 32, verse 1? Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. I wish he read that psalm and believed in. I wish he read Psalm 130. But in thee there is forgiveness. But with thee there is forgiveness. And he died, I believe, as a lost man. But look at the tense. Look at the tense in verse 4. I hope that caught your attention. But there is. Not there could be, or not there will be, but there is right now. For I trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent from my sins. I look to him. I cry out to him out of the depth. There is right now for me salvation. And actually, the Hebrew text says, if I could just literally translate it, it says, with thee, there is the forgiveness, the only forgiveness that matters and the only forgiveness that could be given to a sinner only by God. Nobody can give you that forgiveness. That is why with thee, there is the forgiveness. And that forgiveness, once it is given to you, it will never be taken away. Forgiveness means to be spared. Forgiveness means to be separated. That's the meaning of being forgiven. And that forgiveness is based again on the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one last thing, that first application. There is forgiveness with thee, not with the other, but only with thee. So that is why we keep saying no pope, no priest, no parent, no preacher, no cardinal, no guru, no religion, no counselor. No psychiatrist could help in any sense. Why salvation is of the Lord. That is the first thing. Can I be saved? Yes, there is forgiveness with God. Number two, look at it in verse 7. For with the Lord there is mercy. In verse 7 there is mercy with the Lord. I can receive mercy. This is, if I may put there, this is the sinner's prayer. You know, sometimes we speak about the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer? Oh, Lord, be merciful unto me. That is the sinner's prayer. It is, again, going back to what we said earlier. How can I be saved? I cry unto the Lord for salvation. Nothing in my hand I bring. I cling only to the cross of Calvary. I believe only in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I receive hope, I receive life, because I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom there is forgiveness and in whom there is mercy. I close with the third one. The first one, there is forgiveness. The second, there is mercy in God. But look at the last one, verse 7 there. And with him is plenteous redemption. I was a slave of sin. Redemption is in relation to slavery, spiritual slavery. I was subject to Satan and to sin and to my own lust and flesh. But once I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, King Sin has no power over the repentant sinner. Now King Christ is the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the ruler. He's the sovereign God. Is the author of our salvation. Plenteous. There is great, full, abundant grace and redemption in Jesus Christ. Redemption accomplished and fulfilled in Christ. My dear friends, as I close, Christ came from heaven to earth. He died on the cross of Calvary, but on the third day, he was risen from the dead. There at the cross of Calvary, while he was suffering, he took upon himself my hell if I trust in him. And the Father says to every sinner who put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, my son paid it all. Isn't that good news? The substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father took it all. He paid the price. He took upon himself the agony, the hell, the suffering, the judgment, the righteous judgment. We have offended him, yet he offered the perfect sacrifice to satisfy his own justice and righteousness. Oh, my dear friends, grace, peace, mercy, forgiveness, redemption, all these things are in Jesus Christ as you come to him. I close, it comes to my mind. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. My dear friends, the riches of the grace of Jesus Christ to forgive a sinner who comes to him tonight. This man has run away from the suffering and the pain due to his own sins, and now he has been elevated to a higher status, from misery to mercy. Come to him. Come to Christ. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee, for thou art the Savior of the world, and thou wilt not cast away any one of us who come to thee seeking for salvation. Oh Lord, let this example in this psalm to be imitated. Out of the depths I cry unto thee, O Lord. And who shall stand? O the sinner who trust in thee, for there is forgiveness with thee, there is mercy with thee, but there is also plenteous of redemption with thee. So visit us again and incline thine ear towards us tonight in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.